Hey, patrons and YouTube members, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly patron cast. This time, season 3, episode 20. I'm pretty sure I said episode 20 last time, but it was 19. I can't count, apparently. So, episode 20. This time, there are only two things I want to talk about. The first one will be a little bit of an update about the channel, the sponsors, the videos that are coming, why I had to rejig the publication calendar for May, what I want to work on, and just generally a few things that I'm trying recently and that could be fun. And the second one will be more personal. I'll talk a little bit about what I played in terms of video games, about how my whole I'm starting cooking meals every day thing is going, and stuff like that. So let's begin with the channel itself. And until now, May has been a very, very, very solid month in terms of views, in terms of revenue, in terms of time watched and stuff like that. It's been really, really good. As it stands on this Monday morning as I'm recording, it's 1.4 million views, so about 300,000 more views than usual. For a watch time of 138,000 hours in the month, and plus 7,500 subscribers, which puts us at 264,500 subs, so not far from 265, which is really good. The revenue is also really solid, and this is basically on the back of three videos that really did better than usual this month. So, of course, there was the Windows and macOS can't do this, only Linux can video, which already has 256,000 views in, what is it, 2 weeks, I think? I think I published it 2 weeks, a little bit more than that. A little bit more than 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks ago. Then there's a Linux news video where I talked about HDR, AMD beating Apple Silicon on paper in benchmarks, at least, and other things. And this one is almost at 80,000 views, which is basically double than what the usual Linux news videos get. And then there's the bad design of Windows that harms Linux, which also has 75,000 views in only 5 days, which is really good. And and everything else basically this month has been performing a little bit above what I usually do. So instead of being at around 40,000 views after a week, it's more like 50, 53. It performs a little bit better. It's probably because one of the videos, like the Linux can't do this, but everything else can't video, probably drew in a lot more people who started watching more videos on my channel, not necessarily the latest ones, plus the new subscribers that probably started watching the new stuff. So it's really good. It's a really, really good month. So I'm very happy about this. Now, in terms of the sponsors, so first, the situation with Linode is now, in theory, resolved. I told you previously that they, since they were acquired by Akamai, they had to work with an influencer agency, which had pretty strict requirements on how you could work with them, what you had to deliver, how often, and how early you had to deliver them a fully completed video, which I told them that I can't work like that. This just doesn't fit my publication calendar. Like, if I had 3 employees, I could maybe make it work, but right now I can't. And so they took their sweet time to answer me. It took about 3 weeks, I think. And I finally heard back from them last week, and they told me, yeah, you know what, it's not a problem. We can keep working like you used to. There's no problem. We don't need to check everything. I said, okay, great, but then send me a contract. And so they're drafting a contract, but I'll read it extra carefully because I do not want any of these requirements to be in the contract, because then they could tell me by email, hey, you know what, don't worry about it, it's in the contract, but you don't have to fulfill these requirements. I could work with them, and then they could say, oh, you didn't fulfill the contract, we're not paying you. So, of course, I will be extra careful to see that they didn't just give me a boilerplate thing, and that it's tailored to what I asked. So I'm happy about this, because, well, yeah, I really like Linode, and I enjoyed working with them. I still use their services right now, and they're really good. I've never experienced any single issue with any of my Linode instances. No downtime that wasn't self-inflicted. They're just super reliable. And yeah, of course, I'm not running like a giant server farm or a giant website. The only thing that runs on it is my own Nextcloud instance, And my only Office instance, which I want to try and turn into something else, probably Collabora Office to replace only Office, because, yeah, you know, the Russian thing. Not a big fan. So, yeah, I'm glad they're still on board, or at least until I get the contract, I won't be getting my hopes up too much until I get the Linode contract. Now, about Tuxedo, I talked about like our contract arriving at its normal end date. I still did not receive any news from them this week, which is weird because they also had a laptop to send me for review. And it was actually one of the videos that was planned for May, but I just couldn't make it because I never got the laptop. They didn't reach out to me. They didn't answer to my email. So I'm probably going to email them this week to see if everything is okay, if they have a planned date for sending me the laptop or anything. And yeah, just trying to organize stuff. Like, I also asked them when they wanted to do an interview, because I was planning to interview them on the Linux News podcast in an extra episode. And yeah, they were okay. They said they found the people. I said, when do you want to do it? And then no answers. So maybe the person that's supposed to answer me is on holidays, because that seems to happen to other people. Apparently, they take holidays. And it would be like May. It's a nice time to go on vacation. So maybe they're on vacation. Who knows? So I'll just send an email to clarify things, because waiting is just not fun. I also redid a few calculations. I just busted out my spreadsheet to make a nice big budget. Just to make sure that if Tuxedo dropped the channel, I would still be okay financially. And so I took very pessimistic provisions for YouTube ad revenue, very pessimistic provisions for sponsors, and if I add things up with Patreon and like YouTube memberships and stuff, I'm good. I would still be fine. It wouldn't be as comfortable as it is right now. I wouldn't have that buffer, that extra buffer to handle like months that go badly, but it would still be fine. So I'm not worrying about it too much. If they drop me, I have plenty of time to try and find either another sponsor or just decide that I don't need another sponsor. We'll see. That's the result of me trying to diversify the revenue sources for the channel to avoid this precise situation where one sponsor leaving would put me into big trouble. So the channel right now is pretty resilient. It's got a relatively healthy mix of YouTube ads and of various different sponsors that make up the rest of the revenue, plus a small part of Patreon, YouTube memberships and donations. So it's relatively balanced, and one sponsor leaving doesn't really put me into too much trouble, which is good. Now, of course, I say the channel is resilient. It's only resilient as long as YouTube doesn't suddenly decide to bury it for some reason or to kill it altogether. There's still one giant weak link here, which is you don't know what the YouTube algorithm will decide to do on my channel. Now, I also thought about it. I think I have another option if Tuxedo decided that they don't get enough for their money. I could just renegotiate with them, because if I'm 100% honest, the price they pay today is a rough estimate that we agreed upon at the time. But after 1 year of running these sponsorships, I don't know, maybe they just realized, you know what, at that price, there's no way we're ever going to be like profitable on this sponsoring deal. I don't know, maybe. And if that's the case, I would be open to renegotiating to lower the price a little bit, because it was just a ballpark. We were like, hey, how much would it cost to do this? How much is Slimbook paying you right now? And I knew Slimbook was just not paying enough for this slot. So I estimated based on a medium CPM that I divided by two, because a normal CPM would be for a first part sponsor at the beginning of the video, but they were coming in at the end. So I divided that by two and I estimated, you know what, that should do the trick. And they were okay with that, but maybe that's way too much for what I provide. So if they say, you know what, we're just not making our money back on this deal, it's not working, I can also just say, well, maybe if it's too expensive, we could just like lower the price a little bit. It should still be reasonable because, well, I mean, it's still my reputation that I'm like staking on their products and on sponsoring them. So it needs to be a like decent amount, but maybe what I'm asking right now is too much. I don't know. So I'm just going to send them an email just to check that everything is fine with them, that they're still alive, that they're going to send me my review unit of their Stellaris 16 and stuff like that. And yeah, we'll see what they answer, what their answer is. So apart from that, May has been a bit weird in terms of publication calendar, because a few videos that I wanted to work on just did not pan out at all. The next Cloud Hub 4 video had to be pushed back. I installed a brand new Next Cloud Hub 4, like I think it's Next Cloud 26, on a Linode instance. It just worked really well, like with a Docker image, very basic. And it worked for the installation, but after that, it was just super buggy, not ready. Some of the apps they talked about, like the AI integrations and stuff like that, didn't work properly. It just didn't feel ready enough for me to showcase it. And some of the integrations they mentioned for Nextcloud Hub 4 actually require Nextcloud 27, not 26. So I don't know. I wasn't super happy about it. I still managed to write a sizable chunk of the script. But when I thought about, I'm going to have to record this, like this is working one times out of three. It's just not stable enough. It's not reliable enough. I cannot like recommend this thing or talk about it right now. It's just not. It's just going to be an annoyance to make. And either the whole video has to be rewritten to say, you know what, it's not ready yet. But then the video doesn't age well because maybe in a month it is ready. Or the video is like paving over all the problems and saying, you know what, it works great. But my experience was not that it worked great. So yeah, I decided to postpone the video. It just was not ready. And I already had the same issue with Nextcloud Hub 3 back when I made that video, because it was the same problem. I think I pushed the Nextcloud Hub 3 video two times in total. It was moved from one month to the other, and finally then it was good enough and ready and I could use it. So I'm expecting kind of the same. It looks like Nextcloud announces a lot of features way in advance. You can already download and use it, but it's really not there yet. So we'll have to see maybe next month if the video gets picked by you guys. Now, also the Stellaris 16 review, as I said, will not be doable this month because I didn't receive the laptop. So when I review a laptop, I always try to spend at least 2 weeks with it, just working entirely with it. And this helps me detect the problems, and if like the keyboard works well, the trackpad works well, it helps me get a better estimate of battery life. So yeah, having not received the laptop, there's no way I can make a video about it. Even if I received it like early this week, I could not make a video about it for next week. It's too short. So this is going to be moved. And so I switched that video review for a video about Framasoft, which you might or might not know. They're a French nonprofit that has created PeerTube and that hosts a lot of services based on open source software. You can just access their online services, most of the time without a user account, super private, no problem. Like they don't track you, they don't collect anything. It's all open source and it's all user funded. And so I just wanted to showcase them because I've been following them for almost as long as I've been using Linux. They've been around for almost that long, and I always enjoyed what they did. Like they're really trying to bring some tools. It's not meant to be a Google ecosystem replacement. It's more punctual tools. Like, hey, I need to create a form for a school project. Well, don't just go to Google. Use like their stuff, which is free and will work well and will not collect any data about you or your respondents. Or I don't know, I just need a collaborative document, but I don't want to use Google Docs or Office 365. Well, you can just create one document without an account for free and just use that. So I like what they do. And so this is going to be a video for this week, probably will release tomorrow or Wednesday. On top of that, this week we'll also have the usual Linux news video. And the other one will be a look at Vanilla OS, which is a distro I heard a lot about, but I don't know much about. So I'm going to use it this whole week and publish the video probably like on Thursday or Friday after having used it for a while and just playing around with it. It looks interesting. It's an immutable distro. I think it's going to be fun. And so this will leave us with just one last video for the end of the month, which will be a comparison of macOS, Windows, and a few Linux distros in terms of privacy and the data they collect. So it should be, it's gonna be a lot of work, I think, to make this one, because as always, well, when you have to record from 2-3 different OSs, you always end up having problems with installing Windows that doesn't work in a VM for some reason, and you have to like hack the registry a little bit for Windows 11 to accept working. Or you try to record macOS and your really old cheese grater Mac Pro decides that this time it doesn't want to show you anything on the display, because this happens. It runs Big Sur, it's not Ventura, so it's not up to date. So I know there's gonna be some comments saying, eh, you don't use the latest version, so this thing is inaccurate. Of course. So this is always a little bit of work. I'm gonna have to find a solution to have a more permanent Windows install, and probably at some point I'll have to replace that old Mac Pro. Because, well, it's too old. It just cannot be upgraded to the latest versions. It's from 2011, I think. And I pushed it up to Big Sur, which technically does not support. I pimped it with its, like, the best CPU it can handle. So it's, I think it's a 3.06 gigahertz. It's dual 3.06 gigahertz, 6-core Xeons. It's got 32 gigs of RAM. It's got an SSD, but it's a SATA 2 SSD, so speeds are super low. And even with a dual 6-core Xeon, it's just, like, not super fast. Like, my laptop is better than it, basically. And the graphics card is an RX 580, which is sometimes supported and sometimes not really. So, it's a mess. I can't upgrade it. So, at some point, I'm probably going to have to buy a Mac, but that sucks because it's a computer I would never use. I would not use it. I would use it to record like 2 or 3 parts of a video maybe per year. And I would maybe use it to make a video about Asahi Linux or a few videos about Asahi Linux as it evolves. But that's it. And like, if I'm going to buy this computer, it's going to be at least an M1 MacBook Air from 2021, I think, when they released. And that's still like about 700 euros or 800 euros, which is a lot more than what I want to pay for this kind of stuff, for something I will basically never use. So it sucks, but at some point I'm going to have to, because if I want to make relevant comparisons from time to time, I mean, I don't really have a choice. There is no good way that I know of to run a recent macOS version in a VM. Like, I used SoSumi, which was a snap package that was created, but I think it only runs like El Capitan or Catalina or something, which is like really old now. And I don't know, maybe Chasm Workspaces, which is one of my sponsors, maybe they do have a Mac desktop that I could stream. I don't know. They stream desktops and apps to your browser with Chasm Workspaces, or you can just like set up your own stuff with their VNC replacement. Maybe I'll ask them. Maybe they have something that would spare me the purchase of a Mac. That would be much better. And now to finish on this channel-related part for the news podcast, it's still going strong. Every episode reaches the same number of listens as the previous one, or surpasses it slightly. So it's really nice to see. It's still like 2,000 downloads per episode. It's nice. And while most episodes are downloaded and played on Android, which represents about 75% of downloads, there are actually more people using Windows than Linux to listen to these episodes. 7% of downloads are made on Windows, and Linux has like 2.5 or 3%, I think. And it's pretty funny as well, because no one who listens to me uses macOS. It's got 0.8% of all downloads, which is 0.1 point more than the number of downloads made by Alexa. So this means there are almost as many people who listen to my podcast using Alexa than using macOS, which is like insanely funny to me. And it really feels like if Linux did not exist, most people who follow me would use Windows and not macOS, which I would expect the complete opposite, honestly, because, well, I don't know, it's like closer to Linux, it's Unix, basically. I don't know. So, as in terms of funding, I still plan to keep the podcast user-funded by now. at least until after the summer holidays, probably until the end of the year. And maybe at that point, like, it would have been 6 months or a year that I've been doing it. Maybe I'll just start trying to get some data. So I might send a little poll and ask people here on Patreon, like, did you subscribe for the podcast? Do you subscribe for the videos? Do you subscribe for both? And try to, like, what's your contribution level, whatever. And I'll try to add things up and see how much the podcast is generating. Right now, it takes me about 3 hours per week to make it, so it's not insane, and it wouldn't be too hard to, like, make it at least balanced, like, generating enough money to pay for those 3 hours of work. I don't think it would be too hard. I think it could work. So I don't think there's any need to put sponsors in it. I think it would be acceptable to have like a 30-second or 1 minute sponsor break in the podcast. It's like 40 minutes, so it's not like it's going to be ads only. But I would rather have a project that is not sponsor supported. So we'll have to see. I'll just let the thing going, and I'll just like poll you guys at some point on whether you enjoy the podcast. Do you listen to it at all or not at all? Did you subscribe for it? And this will give me a ballpark of how much money the podcast is generating, and see if I, like, no, you know what, it's really not profitable with those 3 hours. If I added in 2 or 3 more hours, I could make a full-on video that would generate a lot more money. So it's not worth it, but we'll see. Okay, now let's move on to all the more personal things. So if you don't care about me as a person or what I do in my free time, you can shut this down right now. I will perfectly understand and accept it. And as well, there's absolutely no way for me to tell if you guys actually listen or how much you listen. So yeah, you know, you do you. So I talked about starting to eat more healthy stuff using the Freeletics app to do so. And I'm happy to report it works really, really well. I was afraid that I just would not want to cook, that it would be annoying for me to every day for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, cook something, buying a lot of groceries, I don't know. I felt it might be too expensive and too problematic, and honestly, it did not end up being that way. It's been 2 weeks, 2 full weeks now, and I have cooked every morning, every lunch, and every dinner since then. And it's been a blast. I've actually enjoyed this quite a lot because you're cooking for one. Well, I am cooking for one, which makes things really easy. So like you peel one carrot or you cut up 3 tomatoes or 3 mushrooms. It's not like you're trying to prepare food for a big family. So it's really easy. It takes like 15 to 20 minutes tops to cook my meal, like cooking time included, not just preparation. And it's all pretty tasty. Like, there's only, I think, one of the recipes that they showed that was ultra simplistic. It was basically like pre-cooked chickpeas, but you don't even heat them up. You put them in a bowl, you add some artichoke hearts, and you add some like red beans, like the ones you would put in a chili, and that's it. And it's all cold. And I was like, this one is really not that interesting and not great. Super easy to do, sure, full of protein, great. Probably really nice in terms of micro and macronutrients, but not that tasty. Everything else was really good. There's some curry things, like very spicy things. There are some really mild stuff. There's a lot of quark and cottage cheese-based stuff, which is really good as well. And yeah, I really like it. Really good. I have enjoyed every single recipe apart from this one with the chickpeas. And in terms of groceries, it is a bit more expensive. Buying like all these vegetables, a little bit more meat, which I had kind of stopped eating for a while. Like a little bit of... It's just chicken. Like there's literally no... I think I never saw a recipe with beef in it. A little bit of pork sometimes, but it's chicken and turkey, which is like okay in terms of price, and that's the kind of meat I'm okay with eating. Beef I'm not a big fan of anymore. So yeah, it's about 10 to 15 euros more per week. But also I didn't eat breakfast before and now I do. So it's not that terrible. I mean, probably it's even maybe a little bit cheaper than what I paid, because if you add in the fact that now I buy something for breakfast, it's probably even a little bit cheaper. Not really sure, but and it varies week by week. For example, last week it was like $80. The first week it was 100, and this week it was like 60. Because depending on the recipes you pick, stuff might cost more or less. So it's definitely manageable financially and in terms of time. And in terms of how it makes me feel, well, it is definitely much better. I feel way more hydrated because I eat a lot more vegetables. So there's a lot more water in it. So I just rarely get those end of day headaches that I got that like wouldn't have never happened if I had drank enough water. And I mean, yeah, I just feel good. My belly fat is receding faster than my hairline, which is a nice change of pace. And I'm really happy about it. And of course, there are some issues. Like the application itself is not perfect. It has failed to memorize the days that I plan to make specific recipes last week. So I had to try and deduce day by day what I had to prepare, which wasn't super easy. Like it had all the recipes listed, but it didn't know anymore which day, which recipe was supposed to go in. So I didn't know which one was a breakfast, a lunch, a dinner, and for each day. So I basically mixed and matched them like I could. It's not perfect. And you also cannot like send all the shopping list that you created, because when you add the recipes, you can add them to a shopping list. You cannot send that shopping list to a drive-in service, for example. I don't know if this exists in a lot of other countries. I have no idea. But in France, we have what we call drives, which is basically you order online, they prepare your food, you go park yourself at the drive-in, and they will just bring all the food you want. You pick the bags, you put them in your car, you give them the cart back, and you're on your way. I'm pretty sure this probably exists in other countries. I just don't know how to call it in English. In France, we just call them drives. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't grab that list and send it to a drive, which means you have to either do it manually, one item by one item, or you have to go buy them in a store, which is what I ended up doing, because honestly, like, it's a nice moment going into the little shop near me and picking the veggies and the fruits I wanted to eat. It's really kind of fun, actually. It makes me see a bit more people than if I was stuck in my car. So it's nice. So pretty good experience. The first week was pretty tough because I was like weaning myself off of sugar. There's very little sugar in all their recipes. So this was tough. Like my body really, really wanted more sugar and I had some kind of cravings. My hands were a little bit shaky. I felt lightheaded and I had a big, big, big headache at the end of the week, which was probably linked to that as well. But apart from that, now I feel super healthy. I've got tons of energy. Like waking myself up in the morning is easy. And I'm actually looking forward to cooking and preparing the meal. So I think for now, at least, it's working. It's been 2 weeks only. I just came back. I'm recording this after I just came back from doing all my grocery shopping. That's how I remember that it was like 57 euros and 60 cents or something. I'm really excited to go prepare my lunch now. So really nice. And so that's enough about healthy eating. Now let's talk about video games a little bit. So I started playing Danganronpa, which is, if you don't know, sort of a visual novel game, of course, like Japanese, and it runs flawlessly on the Steam Deck. It gives me about 6 hours of battery life at 30 FPS. And yeah, the game doesn't need more than that. It's basically a slideshow of characters coming in with text. And sometimes you can walk around in the school, but it's really like a very minor part of the game. So it's really fun. I don't want to say anything about it, because if you never played it and you might be interested, anything I can say will be a spoiler. So I'm just going to say it's sort of a murder mystery type of game. You have to like unravel various murders and discover who did it and actually have some kind of trial at the end when you present your evidence in forms of mini games. It's fun and the story is great. I played about 12 to 13 hours and I just cannot quite put it down. The game just told me that it was about at halfway point, so I'm guessing you can expect 25 to 30 hours of gameplay depending on how fast you can read the text. I also finished Jedi Survivor on the PS5, which was quite good. Better than Jedi Fallen Order, which was already pretty damn good. Like, my experience on PS5 was decent. There were a few hiccups here and there, but nothing horrible. And I finally managed to get into Breath of the Wild, a game that everybody told me was awesome, and every time I started playing it, I was like, I don't see it. And now, after 10 hours of playing it, I finally see it. It's a beautiful experience, but it was so frustrating to get to this point. Because the game sort of lets you think you can go anywhere once you left the tutorial area, but really you can't. When you're off the Great Plateau or something, you have to go do the main quest for at least 2 or 3 more hours. Because if you don't, you can't get new equipment. You basically will not be able to beat most of the monsters that you encounter. They will one-shot you most of the time. And some shrines that you find that help you increase your health or your stamina, you will not be able to beat them because you don't have the required rune or on your tablet thingy, or you just don't have the skills to do it. So the game opens up this giant map and says, this is your main mission, but now it's super open, and if you don't go there, you just cannot enjoy this place. It's not like Skyrim, where once you've done with the tutorial, you could go anywhere and fight any monster because it scales with you. In Breath of the Wild, it doesn't look like it scales at all. So if you step in the wrong place, you're gonna get one shot and die, which like was very frustrating. And at some point, I understood. I was like, okay, this is not working. I am not making any progress. I'm just breaking all my weapons and shields and everything, and I don't have anything to eat anymore, and like I can't, this is not a sustainable way to play that game. So I was ready to give up, honestly. I was like, I just don't see why people like this game. I don't understand it. It's just like weird and frustrating. And then I decided, okay, you know what, I'm probably like under-leveled or anything, so I'm going to try to do the main quest just to see. And then the main quest happens and they tell you, okay, now you can buy some new equipment, you can improve this equipment, and now here is where you can buy arrows, and you're like, okay, but why is this not part of the already 4 to 5 hours I spent in the tutorial area? That's not super well designed, in my opinion. Like, if your tutorial is 10 hours before you can actually enjoy the game, or at least 7 hours, then your tutorial is way too long. Like, Breath of the Wild has a lot of stuff you can do, but not enough to justify a 7-hour tutorial. But now I'm having a lot of fun, now that I finally have, like, most of the stuff I need to advance and move on in the game. Now I'm having fun, and now I see it. Like, the weapon and shield breaking stuff is still insanely frustrating and dumb, and I do not understand why they added this. It adds nothing to the experience of the game. It just makes it more boring. I don't like it. I just don't like it, but it doesn't make the game unplayable, and everything else around it is quite fun. And yeah, I've been playing that a little bit more, and I'm happy about it. I'm alternating Breath of the Wild and Danganronpa, one on the Switch, one on the Steam Deck, and it's a really cool time. Especially since now the sun is out. In Brittany, it's been super sunny for 2 weeks, and I really love it. Like, you can play outside with those little portables. I just go drink a coffee at the little shop near me, near my house, and I just play there, and it's just so nice, so cool. So cool. So yeah, that's about it. Still no news on my Steam console. It hasn't been shipped just yet. So I'm gonna have to wait a little bit more. Well, at least I didn't receive a shipping notification. So that's probably something I will like talk to Tuxedo about as well, since it's a Tuxedo computer. This will give me the opportunity to make a complete email about all the questions I have. So I'll update you when I receive it, and depending on how the vote is going on Patreon and YouTube memberships, the YouTube community tab, I'll see if there's a video planned or not, if you guys wanted to see that video about the Steam console or not. So, I guess that will be all for this podcast. It's been a long one, way longer than I thought, because there were only 2 topics. But thank you all for listening to it. Thank you all for supporting the channel. And I guess you will hear me in the next one. Bye!